You can't read Congregation Amos 5 and fail to see the refrain, "Seek me and live," the end of verse 4. Verse 6, "Seek the Lord and live." Verse 14, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live." Why do you come to church? To die? Don't we come here to live? To have true life, abundant life, full life, life in Christ, the way, the truth, the life. And yet we can actually come to church not to live. We can come seeking other things, someone else, something else. We can actually go through the motions and think, we can actually kind of fake it. But who are we fooling? Our neighbor, ourselves, grandma, our friends? We know who we're not fooling. It's a sad portrait here when Amos takes up a song of lament. "This lament I take up concerning you, O house of Israel." Hear this word, hear this lament. A lament was like a funeral dirge. Wow. I mean, earlier, throughout Amos, you know, he has some pretty choice words. But to liken God's people to corpses, you know, that's not very pleasant, corpses. You need to put those away. Put those in the ground. Honor them, but put them away. There's no life. Fallen is virgin Israel. Deserted in her own land. To be decimated. Israel, who is still religious. Comes this refrain, "Seek me and live." You realize how many people are dying out there? Even if they make a lot of money or are having a lot of fun, they're dying. In fact, in a way, they're already dead. Seek me and live. We want to look at that because unless we do, we might think we're the living among the dead, but instead we're just living dead. We need to do that because unless we do, we might think that we have God by our religion, but really we just have religion without God. We must do that because unless we do, in such evil times, we don't know what prudent silence is versus sinful silence. The living dead. That's what Amos says about Israel. Living dead. It's almost like a Halloween horror movie, Living Dead. Amos had referred to the wealthy women of the northern tribes of Israel as the fat cows of Bashan. I don't think we should pick on people who have a weight problem, but that's what he said, called them the fat cows of Bashan. They didn't like that as they lived in their upscale neighborhoods, being called cows, corpulent cows. But it's worse to be called a corpse. Much worse. They probably thought Amos was just one of those out of their mind prophets. Isn't that how it goes? If someone is a little tough, a little harsh, well, you know, we have ways of dismissing such people. like when this guy came along with clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist and food for was locusts and wild honey. And he had a choice set of words as well, didn't he? Ah, dismiss him. A crazy out in the wilderness. Some nut job out there. Some weirdo. Some freak. Ah, Amos, you go too far. Likening church to corpse. Come on. Have some balance. Oh, you mean balance like Jesus to the church at Sardis? You're on the brink of life and death. You have the reputation of life, but really, that kind of balance. I mean, that's part of New Testament Word of God. That's from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He still looks at church and says, seek me and live. It's an invitation. It's not a rebuke. It's a rebuke if you're not, but it's an invitation to come. Is your life so great, so put together, so happy, so full, so well? Your marriage is so swell. Making a living is so much fun. Dealing with neighbor is always such a breeze. Facing your own temptations is no sweat. Really? What are we going to seek instead? What do we seek instead? Where do we look for life? And the world says, here's fun, here's life. Try this sin. Try out that one. This one will fit you perfectly. You're empty here. This will fill you up. You're inadequate here. You've been cheated. You've been gypped. Live this way, not that way. You don't make enough money. You don't have enough sexual experience with enough people. You don't push your way into things enough and get your way. Make sure you do. Seek a devil life and live. And the word of the Lord comes, man, that is death and destruction. It might be broad, it might be wide, that everyone might be traveling it on and on cruise control, but you're dying. You're not living. This isn't words of a crazy. This is words of a divine prophet. And he looks at virgin Israel and he sees smutty Israel. The warning to never rise again, deserted in her land. Finally, to be yanked from her land, taken away. God can lift up nations, pagans, to do judgment business. We look at churches, Protestant churches in the West, that once were thriving. Look at the remnants. Look at the skeletons of their big structures and cathedrals. Travel downtown Chicago and you get up on a horizon, you can see Gothic-spired churches all over the place. Would you find life there? I hope, but would you? And many likely not. What happened? You have those who weren't seeking the Lord to live, and therefore they're living dead. Fallen no more to rise. The punishment will be, well, we'll fight for our cause. We'll defend ourselves. The city that marches out 1,000 strong, 100 will return. A town that has 100 that march out, 100 strong, 10 are left. 90% casualties, decimated. Well, we'll worship the Lord, though. We'll worship him with care. We'll go to all the sacred sites. We'll be in the right places. It is still thinking that we're the ones alive among the dead, and they don't see their own rot of soul. It's a frightening picture. It's a sobering picture. It's not pleasant to think about at all, is it? It's difficult to think about. But see, if we don't seek the Lord to have life, then the other side of the error is to think that by means of religion we have God. And Amos is saying, no, you know what you have? You have God, you have religion without God. Not religion, not God by your religion. You just have religion and no God. That's why he says, do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not cross over, travel, journey to Beersheba. Don't go to these sacred places. Yeah, but Bethel is buzzing with business. Gilgal, that's where the reproach of Israel was rolled away. They made covenant renewal. They were circumcised finally again. They're going to do it right. We know what the sacred places are. Bethel, house of God. Beersheba, yeah, we got to do a pilgrimage for that. We have to go way south. We have to get out of northern territory, travel through southern territory to get to Beersheba, but it's worth it. Beersheba, where the Lord revealed himself to Isaac and Jacob. Keep your Jerusalem, thank you. Keep your temple fine. We're going to Beersheba, where it started with Isaac and Jacob. Take that. Looky, what we do. Religion without God. Don't do it, says, seek the Lord. Not sacred places. Seek the Lord and live. Isn't it interesting that the Spirit is regarded as the Lord and giver of life? Life by the Spirit. We can't commandeer it. Parents can't parent life into their children. We're not the Lord. In fact, the Lord Jesus reminds us that this rebirth by Spirit, this gift of Spirit, is like the wind blowing. Can you control the direction of the wind? How hard, how fast, when, how, what? No. I can't either. And so we can't control the gift and blessing of Spirit. We can only be dependent and humble and requesting and seeking the Lord who gives life. Who gives life because I am a temptation failure. I flunk. I fall into temptation. Who gives life because I can go down the list of the Ten Commandments, and if I get beyond the surface and get underneath and peel away, I see I flunk there too. That I really don't need Jesus, my Savior, superficially, but deeply, totally, completely, wholly. I need him absolutely. He's my only comfort in a life of trouble and a death that's the last enemy. He is the only way. There's not another. He is the only truth, the only life. The rest are lies and death. Seek me and live. You know how we don't seek God? We don't seek God when we try to sanctify ourselves in such a way that I need you less, Lord. What a habit of heart this becomes. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to serve faithfully. I'm going to dot the I's and cross the T's. I'm going to be committed. And I'm going to grow. I mean, I'm going to finally start doing better. And I think I am. And therefore, because I'm holier, I need Jesus less. I need a smaller Savior. That is so wrong. That is just so bent and warped and wrong. Our achievements. First, we should be humble about what we're counting as one. What was the Pharisee in the temple doing when he went there to pray? Was he seeking the Lord to live? We know for a fact he went there to display and thank God for his righteousness. He thought he was doing pretty well, and that's why he didn't have to plead for grace or mercy. He didn't have to seek the Lord for salvation because he had a prayer so full of achievement. It was the other guy, the tax collector, who was seeking life, forgiveness, God's fellowship. It's so important, dear congregation, when we think about worshiping the Lord, we don't think we are using God to our ends. Well, Lord, I serve you. I'm faithful to you. Or I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm trying hard and I'm basically doing it right. And now we don't ever say this, but you know, the devil has this way of making this creep into our thinking that therefore God owes me, kinda. Therefore God owes me, kinda. When I discovered this in myself, I was quite ashamed and I was quite shocked, actually. When things go sideways in your life and you think, well, man, I've been doing this and this and this, and I know it's not perfect, but you're merciful, and, you know, we need your grace anyway, and so I've been trying, and then you're gracious, and so you owe me. You owe me a good life. You owe me a nice living. You owe me adjusted, godly children. You owe me a happy marriage. You owe me financial comfort. You owe me health. I serve, you owe. The devil tempt you that way? Search your heart. Because if there's any of that there, you know what you're not doing? Seeking the Lord to live. It's just all seeking yourself. It's just stinginess, self-centeredness. Some people, you know, can come to church. Why are they coming to church? When I first meditated on this sermon 20 years ago, yeah, it's one of these dust off and blow up and change and so on. When I picked on the pillow people, the sleepers. What do people come to church to do? To sleep. Well, the ushers ought to have pillows at the door. Here you go. You need a pillow. In fact, you got these nice chairs. Get rid of the chairs. Be the recliners. You can recline and you know, have a good snooze. The sermon's over. You know, pick on the sleepers. But we can also come to church not to seek the Lord to live. We can come to church with a chip on our shoulder. We can come to church to criticize, to fault find, to point fingers, to show what's inadequate, what's no good, why the preacher is a failure. And believe me, preachers are failures. Just get over it. We are. You know why? Because we're you. That doesn't feel good, does it? We're just like you. We're no different. You keep wanting to make us way different. We're not different. We need the same God, same grace, same Savior, same blood, same mercy, same, in full abundance, constantly. Pray us on. Pray us forward. Love us. Be patient with us. Encourage us. And yes, correct us when we deserve it. We mustn't come to church to fault find. We can also come to church only to socialize. I'm not there to seek God. I'm not seeking the Lord. I'm seeking my buddies, my friends, my clique. How you doing? My extended family. Oh, how's the grandkids? That's all beautiful and fine. But not if someone else is left out and not enfolded and welcomed. And not if that fellowship isn't centered in Jesus Christ, his cross, his blood. Then it's just a social club. Then it's just intramural sports at the bar. We're having fun with people we have fun with. And that's all it is then. That's not seeking God. Or some people will come, as I already showed, with like the Pharisee, to show off their righteousness and to offer their prayers of gratitude that they're better than worldly people out there or tax collectors in here. They go home without life because they didn't come seeking it. Hypocrisy is an ugly dress on the prettiest girl, and it makes her ugly too. It's not pretty on anybody. Seeking God involves trusting Him and His promises of forgiveness. That's what the sinner, the tax collector, does in the temple. He comes seeking God's mercy on him, the sinner. He found life. Israel can't get it. Israel's sins are just packed to the gills here. You turn justice into bitterness. You cast righteousness to the ground. He has that little interlude in verse 8 and 9 saying, do you know who you're dealing with here? Do you realize who God is? Do you realize He made the Pleiades, Orion? He's the one who set the stars in place, who gives all order to the universe, who darkens the day and gives light to the dark, who covers the earth, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out, who gives us rain in season or storm. Do you realize the Lord is the one who can knock down any fortress, any stronghold, can beat any army, can destroy any nation, even if it's rich and powerful like ours? Do you know who you're dealing with? Meanwhile, you hate the one who reproves in court or says, hey, let's have some justice. You despise the person who tells the truth. You trample on the poor. You force him to give you grain. Here you had covenant people where you had a mixing of church and state in those days. But here you had covenant people who were living like totally worldly, ungodly people, extorting money. Here's the poor farmer renting his land. Here's your payment. It's not enough. Boy, he better come hat in hand, look down, and shuffle on his feet while he looks for mercy from this ruthless landowner. You trample on the poor. You force him to give your grain. And now you've accumulated wealth. You know, the hot item in those days was a house of hewed out stone. We don't stack our house isn't stone upon stone stacked and mortared and all. How old fashioned is that? Our house is nothing but hewed out stone. The Flintstones couldn't do better than us. Our house is something else. Wow. I wouldn't live in anything else. What do you think, I'm a peasant? This was church folks. This was the ugliness that was bearing its ugly fruits. This was, we go to Bethel, we go to Gilgal, we go to Beersheba. Oh, have you made your sojourn to Beersheba this year? Oh, Jacob and I went, it was so wonderful. Oh, you must get there. Oh, it's all religious. Religion without God. Gross. They're cheats. I know how many are your offenses, verse 12, how great your sins. You oppress the righteous, you take bribes, you deprive the poor of justice. God really has his eye what's going on in the world. He sees exactly what's going on in our country and every other country. He sees exactly what goes on in consistory rooms and classes and synods and in our hearts. The consequence of such evil times is that prudent people keep silent. And it's hard to know in such evil times when keeping silent prudently becomes sinful silence. I mean, don't you feel this in our own country today? You feel like you're always walking a knife edge of not giving offense, not having a stand, unless you have a stand and you give offense. Because evil is called good and good is called evil. And besides, we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. So the point isn't to be abrasive and mean and uncouth and harsh, but to exercise prudent silence. Better not say anything now. Now the wrath will fall on me, the human social wrath against me, the jeering, the laughter will be against me. The problems are now, the fingers are pointed at me. I'm the bigot. I'm a racist or any number of things. And we can't be bigots and racists, of course. We're not to be that. But you get the point. A company that cheats all the time, and you come and say, hey, you know, this is really, come on, we can run our business more honestly than this. You know, people are depending on us. Do you want to keep your job? My son had a job in which the business got sold, and the new owner literally, explicitly, would tell clients and customers, this is what you're getting, and then on the side, give them something else that was much cheaper and inferior. He started looking for a new job that day. Are you crazy? Oh, man, it's all right. What? So he started even telling the customers, well, you know, you're not getting a square deal here. I just got to tell you that. Just got to know. His name is associated with it. No, this isn't square and straight. Now, this was covenant people treating people like this. Amos, though, has X-ray vision. He sees, how does he describe it here, that they turn justice. And justice may be likened to sweet honeycomb, but when you turn justice into injustice, it's like wormwood. Bitter, 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 and it stinks to boot. Nasty. That's the imagery. Virgin Israel, a laugh. Smutty Israel. The sweetness of justice, a joke. Wormwood. You can go ahead and build your swank houses. You're not going to live there. You can build and plant your vineyards. You're not going to drink the wine. God's not in your favor. Seek good, not evil. Unless we do, we'll fall into sinful silence so that we just aren't going to bring the gospel to the nations or bring the law of the gospel, calling people to repentance, and the gospel is the answer. We won't bring that either. We'll huddle away, hide away, and we won't be light on a hill or salt of the earth. We'll huddle away, hide away, and that's sinful silence. Something much worse than the wisdom of prudent silence. The disciples had every reason to huddle away, hide away. Man, this is dangerous stuff. Look what they did to Jesus. They crucified him. Man, this is scary. But he took them from huddling and hiding to reaching forth, going to proclaiming the good news to all nations. It's the same calling of the church today. As we go forth in that call, what are we doing? We're seeking the Lord to live, and we're proclaiming others to seek the Lord to live. That's the whole point and purpose of the church, the missionary God calling his church to participate in his mission to the nations. So that our prudent silence, being careful how we say things, seeking to be winsome, to take people where they are, to lead them along, to understand the truth, doesn't become a sinful silence. Well, I just won't say anything to anyone, no how, anyway, because someone might not like me. evil times. It is evil times. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice, do righteousness to your neighbor, run your business absolutely straight and square and true. Treat people with all integrity. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto them as you'd have them do unto you. By all means, show the light of Christ with your words, your life, your testimony, all integrity, and exercise not sinful silence, but a prudence. Now, the beauty of all of this is we find an answer in our Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of all of this is he was the one who was dead and now lives. He's the one who sought the Lord and lives, who lived for the Lord and went to death and lives, and he's the answer for all of us who are living dead. I mean, this is calling us to seek him. Come on, live, man. Turn from your sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man without man-made religion. He came to overcome that. That's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in church. A little child crawling out of right out of the building. He says, "Is it long enough? Come on, it's time to go." He's the God-man who didn't embrace Israel's man-made religion, but reformed it so that they would have God in their faith. And our Lord Jesus Christ, before loud accusation, knew when to keep silent before his accusers, that he could stand in the place of sinners. So prudent was his silence that he could be our sacrifice. So wonderful was his silence as solution to our sinful silence and all our other sins. So beautiful that he sought the Lord so that we could live. And now, seek him. He's seeking you. Even in sermon, he's calling out to you. You know what's bugging you, what's hurting you, what's ailing you, what's messy in your home, where your marriage needs healing. You know where you're tempted, you're lying, you're hidden, you're faking it. You know where you're disappointed in God, you think he owes you. You know where you have idols that need to be cast out. You know why you need to seek the Lord and live. And he's calling you to do it because he's loving and merciful. And he would bid us to take his yoke upon us, which is light and easy. And he's gentle in heart. And watch your marriage live anew. And maybe you live with less, but you're content with it. And maybe your eyes aren't casting all over for something else. You're content with what's in front of you. And you're discovering what it is to live in his grace. Amen. Lord,